Good morning. Catching you up on the latest stories from around the Sunshine State that you should know heading into this Friday, April 9th. I'm Anthony Montalto, and this is The Point from WUFT News. Amid the pandemic, there's been a nationwide push to vaccinate prison inmates. And this week, the Bradford County Jail had its own opportunity to start. A vaccine surplus allowed the jail to open shots up to inmates, and WUFT's Megan Porterfield was there. She told me all about the Thursday event and what it means to inmates and officials alike.
So immediately after I checked in at the front, I went to the courtyard, which is where they were doing vaccinations. All of the inmates were wearing masks. All the chairs were distanced about 6 feet apart. And when I entered the courtyard, they had just gotten their shots and they were being held there for 15 minutes to make sure there were no adverse reactions, injection site issues, rash, anything to that sort of thing.
So what did the officials have to say about this vaccination event?
The officials mainly wanted to stress the fact that although the inmates were receiving vaccinations, it was because there was a surplus of vaccinations. There was many to go around. They want to stress the fact that it was not taking away any vaccinations from other people in the area, that they were so readily available.
So this isn't going to be some sort of regular thing. This is just kind of a one-off?
Yeah, they were told by the county that, hey, we can do this. We have the resources to do this. And they actually had multiple different types of vaccinations there for inmates who were going to be transferred or being let out very soon. They got the Johnson & Johnson vaccine so that they could just do a kind of one and done and reenter society fully vaccinated. So they had a lot of resources at their disposal.
There has been a push recently to vaccinate as many prisoners as possible. So I'm just kind of curious if that was any of the influence for this event.
So basically, they agree with the idea, sort of the mentality that these people are in very close quarters. They are in closed spaces. It's not always outside. So it is a little bit of high risk. And one of the inmates I spoke to has actually been quarantined four times due to kind of the If there's a possible outbreak, they will quarantine. They have very strict procedures, and that kind of affects the quality of life of some of the inmates. So I think they were really looking forward to the opportunity to be able to vaccinate them. Of course, it was their choice, but almost all of the prisoners opted in to receive that vaccine.
And that segues into my next question. What were the prisoners feeling when they got that vaccine?
Everyone I spoke with seemed to be pretty much excited. They used those words, relieved, looking forward to getting a second dosage if they were individuals that were going to be receiving a second dose. One of the individuals I spoke to said he was surprised with how quickly they were able to get the vaccine in the jail system. He was a little impressed with that. Everyone seemed to be doing well, in good spirits, and overall, okay.
Do you think any other jail system is going to start following this lead, or is it going to be kind of an isolated thing?
I think they had a unique opportunity because they had a lot of vaccines readily available, and it is more of a rural area, so they don't have to disperse as many vaccines as some other areas do. But I was told that they were kind of taking the lead from state officials, and I would assume that other institutions would start taking that lead as well if they have the resources to do so. The prison system is very excited and eager to vaccinate those who want to be vaccinated, especially due to the high risk of those inmates being so close together. Colonel Bradford Smith said to me that they're excited for the possibility of the regulations on social distancing and masks get redefined once most people are vaccinated. They're excited for that to play into with their inmates because they can maybe go through less quarantine periods, have a little bit better quality of life, not have to be distanced as much from other people. So that's something they're looking forward to with those vaccinations.
Megan, thank you so much for your reporting on this.
Thank you.
That was WUFT's Megan Porterfield on her latest story about an inmate vaccination event in Bradford County. For more on this story and for more news that matters to you, head over to WUFT.org. Now let's get into some top headlines. Governor Ron DeSantis is planning a major lawsuit against the federal government and the CDC. NBC6 South Florida reports the governor made the announcement Thursday at Port Miami, saying, quote, "The CDC has locked down this industry for over a year. This is not reasonable. This is not rational," end quote. DeSantis says the CDC's year-long shutdown of the U.S. cruise industry disproportionately affects Florida. A top official in charge of investigating Florida election law violations is in hot water this week. Eric Lippman is the general counsel for the Florida Elections Commission, and according to the Tallahassee Democrat, he was arrested this week on 11 counts of child pornography charges. The paper reports investigators found 19 files allegedly sent by Lippman's email, as well as internet searches from his work laptop. In his first court appearance Thursday, Lippman was released, awaiting trial. In Cape Coral, over $2,000 worth of Johnson & Johnson vaccines appear to be stolen. NBC2 reports 10 vials with 5 doses each were taken out of a refrigerator sometime between April 1st and Wednesday when healthcare professionals went to use them at Physicians Primary Care on Vizcaya Parkway. The case has been turned over to the Cape Coral Police Property Crimes Unit. Once nearly extinct, recent attempts to recuperate the Florida panther population have helped bring numbers from about 30 in the 70s to just about 200. But the big cats now face another challenge, according to National Geographic, a mysterious neurological disease. The disease, known as feline leukomyelopathy, causes muscle weakness and sometimes even partial paralysis in panthers and bobcats. It's likely affected 19 panthers and 18 bobcats since 2017, and it's left researchers baffled. Their best guess is it's some sort of neurotoxin, though they're not ruling out a virus. Subscribe to The Point newsletter, which drops the latest Florida stories into your inbox daily at 8 a.m. Head over to WUFT.org for more info. It's just a click away. I'm Anthony Montalto, and you've been listening to The Point from WUFT News out of the University of Florida.